by yours truly, the one and only BucketReviews.com film critic and podcaster, yes, podcaster, Danny Baldwin. You might be noticing right now that I'm not laughing uncontrollably as I did in the past two episodes. That's because I feel I've punished enough those people who the laughter was geared at. Don't know who it was geared at? Well, I suggest that you go back and brush up on your BucketCast trivia, buddy. Actually, you can just listen to the opening of BucketCast 2. But it really wasn't very good, so let's just move on from here. There are no more housekeeping notes, and let's talk our Thursday feature, which is my predictions and projections, same thing really, for box office numbers this weekend. The biggest opener is Land of the Lost, starring Will Ferrell, a man who needs no introduction, and directed by Brad Silberling, who is responsible for the Lemony Snicket movie, which was pretty good. I shouldn't say responsible, who can be credited the Lemony Snicket movie. Who is this movie made for? That's the question that's on everybody's mind right now, because it's a tough one to answer. Probably for the kids who can identify with Ferrell and their parents who remember the TV show from the late 60s. But the trailer just doesn't do a good job of illustrating that. Ferrell's usual shtick is present, but it doesn't seem like this is a movie for those teenagers who might most enjoy it, because they'll stray from anything that looks kiddie. And there's a mix of spectacle with the big dinosaur and satire with the Matt Lauer interview and Al Gore references in the trailer, but that's really absurdist comedy. And what kind of absurdist comedy fan is frequenting the multiplex where this is intended to be a tentpole? The only thing that gives me hope is the fact that Brad Silberling is directing. He made Moonlight Mile in 2002, which is one of my favorite small-scale dramas from the last decade, and I thought the Lemony Snicket movie was just enchanting, so I'm still hopeful. But still, by all means, this looks like a mega commercial flop, especially given the studio clearly made it with the intention of it doing 60 to 70 million opening weekend. That it will not do. In fact, it could open as low as 20 million. Low-end comparisons range from Ferrell's previous entry into the kids' movie genre, Kicking and Screaming, in which he played his child's overzealous and obnoxious soccer coach. That made 20.1 million, and that would be a terrible opening for Land of the Lost. But you got a similar movie to Land of the Lost, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which had similarly lofty intentions, in that case with British humor, not wild prehistoric humor. That made 21.1 million. On the high range of the low end, you got Will Ferrell's Anchorman, which did 28 million. But let's not forget, that 28 million was then followed by Great Legs. Land of the Lost would be very lucky to do only 40% of its business opening weekend. Especially because kids are not out of school yet and seeing movies on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So, this opening is a lot, it's riding on a lot. If it makes only 20 million in its opening, it's only likely to make 50 million in total. But let's hope it does a middle-end comparison for the sake of the movies doing well. Middle-end comparisons range from Lemony Snicket, which Silberling directed, as I said. That made 30 million, but again had Great Legs. If Land of the Lost made 30 million, it would have maybe a final chance at 75. Dukes of Hazzard, another TV adaptation, did 30.7 million, and I'm really only grouping it in because that was another TV adaptation. Another TV adaptation was Get Smart, much more applicable, came out last summer to 38.6 million. But unlike Land of the Lost, that had a likable female lead, which in Anne Hathaway, which potentially kind of evened out Will Ferrell's greater star power than Steve Carell. I do not think Land of the Lost has even the slightest chance at that 38.6 million. Also, this has to deal with something that those other films didn't. Competition from the kiddies. Up is still going strong for Disney Pixar, and it may gross $45 million this weekend, taking away a significant chunk of Land of the Lost's potential audience. Get Smart, by comparison, didn't have to deal with WALL-E until its second weekend, and The Love Guru, which it opened against, bombed. So that will account for the differential, and my final guesstimate is $27 million and a final somewhere around $65 million, which is not, by any means, what the studio would have wanted. Then again, Land of the Lost is probably a surer bet than My Life in Ruins, which opens in a modest 1,164 theaters. It's a terrible movie, I've seen it, with horrible reviews currently at 5% on Rotten Tomatoes. The director is Donald Petrie, who has really made a career out of mediocre Hollywood comedies like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Welcome to Mooseport. And the movie stars Nia Vardalos of My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and it's really worse than that horrible My Big Fat Greek Life sitcom that ran about 8 episodes on CBS. It stars her as a woman who comes to Greece full of idealism and ends up a forlorn bus tour guide. It follows her with a very obnoxious group of tourists, and she's the less liked driver among the companies too, and so-called hilarity ensues as her life changes during this tour, and she gets her kefi, the Greek word for mojo, as the trailer says, back, as this group reinvigorates her. Many, most vocally Ebert, have criticized Vardalos' performance, but I really think she's the only thing good about the movie, and is very quirky and at least attractive. But whether the performance works or not, it's really insignificant because the movie still sucks. It's poorly written and has a surprising flair for juvenile humor, and one of the biggest gags is seen in the trailer where the Greek bus driver, I think his name is Porkopi, wants to be called Poopy, because that's an hilarious abbreviation of his name. Everyone's better off, in my opinion, waiting and seeing Vardalos in her upcoming project, which she wrote and directed herself, just like Big Fat Greek Wedding, called I Hate Valentine's Day. Even though I haven't seen it, it looks very similar to that great indie sensation in the summer of, what, 2002? So, go see that. Comes out at, I think, the end of the month. And some seniors, nonetheless, will still like My Life in Ruins, because they may have digressed since turning 70 and might find this, indeed, perfectly delightful. But the rest of you will be in pain. On the lower end of comparisons, I hope this movie does terribly. Unlike Land of the Lost, which I still hope does well because I haven't seen it and can't inflict my malice upon it, I hope this does as poorly as the otherwise very good Hamlet 2, which opened in 1,595 theaters last summer to 1.6 million. That would be disastrous for distributor Fox Searchlight. It's more likely to do something in line with a medium comparison like Kit Kittredge, An American Girl, which opened wide in 1,843 theaters last summer to 3.3 million. The movie's unlikely to do as high as Ghost Town, another kind of small-scale romance for adults, which did 5 million in 1,505 theaters. But those theater counts are rather high to make comparisons. This is kind of skewing low on theaters because all the multiplexes are so full right now. So I averaged the per theater averages of each of those movies, and I inflated them by 15% just because I figure Vardalos has a built-in Greek audience that will boost it by that 15%. And I got a per theater average of 2,777, which makes for a weekend of 3.2 million. Sounds pretty good to me. Which would... It would be a modest success for a modestly budget movie. Oh, and one last thing. Richard Dreyfuss is in the movie in one of the most shameless cash-in opportunities I have ever seen. But on to better things. Almost, I would say, the undeniable champ of the weekend, aside from maybe Up, if it holds well, will be The Hangover, a body, lewd, raunchy, R-rated comedy that I haven't seen yet, but I am very excited for. Even though it's rated R, which will indeed bar some teenagers from purchasing tickets, although they'll probably scurry in after feeding some money to Land of the Lost, good comedies have done terrifically during this economic downturn with audiences who want to be cheered up. And every indication to the folks is that this one is good. The studio is confident because they gave many publicity screenings, and you can see the positive reviews from people on websites like filmmetro.com. From those, and the reviews are great. It's got an 83% score on Rotten Tomatoes right now, and the stars, they've been hitting the talk show circuit hard. If you saw Bradley Cooper on Conan last night or Heather Graham on Kimmel last night, not to mention the trailers have played incredibly well with audiences everywhere, especially the Mike Tyson jag at the end where he punches somebody out after singing "I Can Feel It Coming," Phil Collins. So I think everyone's excited for this one. It's just a matter of whether they can get in, because there will be plenty of 15 and 16-year-olds flocking to this, trying to sneak into the auditoriums. And another thing to remember is that this is directed by Todd Phillips, who has built up quite a reputation for himself in comedies like Starsky and Hutch, Road Trip, and Old School. Ironically, this puts him against Old School alum Will Ferrell in Land of the Lost, but he'll be reteaming with Ferrell and making a lot of money with Old School Dose in 2 years, so I'm sure Phillips is not hurt by that. A low-end comparison would be Old School itself, which made $17 million, but let's not forget that that was not front-loaded, as The Hangover probably will be given its summer release. Also remember that Old School only had about two-thirds of the theaters of The Hangover. In fact, if you took the per-theater average of Old School and applied it to the number of theaters that The Hangover is in, then The Hangover would make $21.2 million, considerably more. But I still think that's low. I even think the medium comparison, Pineapple Express, is low. Sure, the two bear drug-related comedy, Pineapple Express being marijuana and The Hangover being alcohol, in common, but it was also, Pineapple Express was also a trippier movie, making the audience more limited. One might argue, though, that both Old School and Pineapple Express had bigger names than The Hangover, and between Seth Rogen and Will Ferrell, they're absolutely right. At best, the masses will recognize that guy who looks like Andy on The Office, Bradley Cooper, and maybe Heather Graham. But I think that the humor is really resonating in the trailers, and it'll pull the movie through, and it will allow it to open closer to the higher-end comparison, which is obviously Wedding Crashers, another wedding-themed movie which opened 3 summers ago, to $33.9 million on a very similar screen count. And while I don't think The Hangover will quite be able to bring in the masses that Wedding Crashers did, because it doesn't have the romantic element that Wedding Crashers did, which brought in a lot of females, nor does it have the Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson teaming, which brings some box office draw, The Hangover should really still open strong. My instincts are telling me about $28.5 million, edging out Land of the Lost, probably not as good as Up. We know that between aforementioned movies like Superbad and Knocked Up and Scary Movie, that R-rated comedies really can do that kind of business, and I fully expect The Hangover to rise to the occasion and make waves with audiences. So, I think we're potentially looking at Up number one, Hangover number two, Land of the Lost number three. And please, please go see Drag Me to Hell this weekend, because it needs a good hold. It's a great movie. The one notable limited release that I'm going to cover as well is Away We Go, directed by Sam Mendes and starring John Krasinski and Maya Rudolph. Even though it's a Mendes movie which promises something more, it's being sold as a rather typical offbeat indie comedy, which should do well nonetheless in New York and LA, where it opens in 4 theaters. I still wouldn't expect an initial per theater average in line with the comparable Sunshine Cleaning, though, given Amy Adams and Emily Blunt had more star power than these two. But 20% less shouldn't be hard, I don't think. That would give the movie a pretty handsome $175,000 opening in just 4 theaters, with $44,000 per theater, lending to a solid expansion next weekend. Again, you may notice that I haven't talked about my personal feelings towards these movies outside of My Life in Ruins, which I've already seen. That's because I'll be conversing about them with my friends tomorrow on the podcast at the local sandwich shop and hangout Subman to provide you all a very diverse view on mainstream audiences' opinions on what they'll be seeing and won't be seeing this weekend. So you'll hear from Reed Ackerman, who you may know from the Geekgasm podcast, and you may know from writing reviews back in the heyday of BucketReviews.com, and Ryan Gray. Maybe we'll get a little Blaine Nelson action in there. He's one of the sandwich artists, as Subway would so call them. But they're just sandwich makers at Subman, let's be real. Anyway, we'll be broadcasting from there tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed my lowdown of the box office figures. And again, this is Bucket signing out.
Well, Fraulein, I get handed down the news. Work on the front line. Well, I never begin to choose. Just work on the front line.